This is from Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Well, I suppose we all caught at least a small dose of 24-hour World Cup fever over the last couple of weeks. And I know, U.S. lost on Tuesday. They lost the week before, too, and I was puzzled about that. And I was telling some friends of mine that are World Cup and soccer aficionados, how is it that in every other place on the planet, losing a match means you go home, except apparently in World Cup soccer? Well, two or three or maybe a tie or put down the two, carry the one, turn around, etc. Well, anyway, U.S. lost on Tuesday, and that's the end of that, and we can all go back to following baseball and golf and tennis, as it turns out this morning. We lost. Jesus says that's not always a bad thing, that there are, in one sense, he's using a metaphor, whoever would save his life will lose it, and who loses it for my sake will find it. And in one sense, I suppose that's a text that's been used to support and give strength even to those who are martyred for the cause and so on. But it implies, and this is what I was thinking about in light of the World Cup, and I'll wrap it up in that way in a few minutes, there are apparently necessary losses that define our life and actually in some way energize our ministry. Necessary losses. You know, it's cute when a 5-year-old says, "I'm really strong, I'm really fast, I'm really cute." And they can do anything. And we tell them, you know, you can be anything you want to be. And, you know, whether that's a firefighter or a dancer or a all-star pitcher or whatever, we want them to hold on to the idea that the world is their oyster. And yet, you can't hold on to that forever. You have to lose your illusion and idealism. Otherwise, you know, with an air of invincibility at 16, why, sure, I can beat that train across the tracks, or extra beer or two won't hurt me. You know, you really need to lose, in a sense, that idealism or sense of invincibility in order to focus on what it is that you are capable of doing in a realistic way so that you can contribute in a way that's helpful, edifying, and in a sense enables you to look at yourself and say, "I was born to do this, I learned this well, and I can contribute." It's a sense of vocation as a teacher, someone working in business, an athlete, even a preacher, maybe. We have to lose the idea that we can do everything such that we know we can do something. And it enables us to contribute. That's our calling. That's our vocation. A necessary loss, a sense of invincibility, idealism. And yet, that pendulum can swing too far in the other direction. A loss of idealism can lead to cynicism. A loss of the realistic notion that we can do anything can lead us to the notion that we can't do anything and we're not worth very much. The end point of that is despair. We have to lose some of that, but not all of it. Around this time of year, and sometimes around Veterans Day, I think of my closest friend growing up, the kid that I played Little League ball with and many, many other things. And he's been gone quite some time. And one of the things that separated our lives were that he went into the military, not completely by choice, and I was able to go off to college, and that had more to do with a draft number than anything else. And in any case, I Google him every once in a while just to see what the internet remembers of him. And in this last week, for apparently having not enough to do, I noticed that his high school graduating class had put together a web page on one of these servers that apparently you can buy space on to do this, that had everybody in that class's high school graduation picture. And if it was available, a where are they now comment. And most of them was unavailable. And a lot of them had, you know, I'm doing this now, I graduated from there, I've got six grandkids or whatever. And by his picture, someone had written, deceased, which I knew, of course, as a result of depression, which I also knew. At age 28, he had taken his own life. And I think of him once in a while when I look at, you know, I've even thought of him when I went to the Vietnam Wall. He's not on it, but he's kind of behind it, you know. I think, you know, what pushed this talented, bright, artistic person beyond the point of, okay, I can't do that, but I can do this. Apparently, I can't do anything. You know, I think we have to give up the notion that we're worthless, or we wind up dying of depression, and that's what suicide is, essentially. It's something of a tough sell because we have learned that we can't do everything. And yet, what is the value of one life and what makes it valuable? I love these t-shirts that we put on little two-year-olds that say, God made me and God didn't make no junk. You know? Oddly enough, it's a sentiment that's directly out of the teachings of St. Paul. They're having this big argument in the early church over what is sacred food and what isn't, and what's ordinary and what's not. And Paul says, nothing God has made shall you call common. To put it another way, God made me and God didn't make no junk, right? How do you measure success? Well, you win the World Cup and everybody else just a bunch of losers. Excuse me. There's a long poem attributed to Emerson, and Emerson scholars say it's not, and it doesn't matter. Just the upshot of it included in this long poem are sentiments like, to have won the respect of intelligent people once, to have made a difference in the life of a child, even once, to in any way be able to say that one other life was better because they knew you. That's to have succeeded. That's enough. It's a necessary loss to lose, you know, sort of the opposite side of this invincibility, this despair, and bring the pendulum back to, well, how good does it have to be good enough to matter to one person? One time is enough. And that brings us, of course, enough energy to find ways to matter to more. Necessary loss. Losing a sense of invincibility, coming back from and paradoxically losing despair. And yet I also think, and I learned this as a young pastor in training, we have to, in some sense, I don't want to say embrace, but I sort of mean that, embrace some of the losses that really hurt, in a sense, because from that develops a sense of empathy. We were all fresh-faced, bright-eyed, idealistic young chaplains in training, in, as it was for me, my late 20s, dealing with people that were experiencing horrendous loss. And we needed to be taught how to relate to people who were under the weight of tremendous grief through hospital and other kinds of things. And our group leader said, well, you know, loss is just loss. I mean, a matter of degree, sure. But, you know, I think it's useful for children to lose a goldfish, you know, because they learn how to cope with the inevitability of loss and the reality that life is short. We lose, in a sense, what gives us empathy. Because there really is no degree. Well, there is, but you can derive a sense of empathy from remembering and re-experiencing your own losses. Empathy is the result of having gone through a loss. And you bring the strength of that empathy and the understanding of what it feels like to someone in your care, to someone you love, to someone who is experiencing what is a universal experience only because, you know, we only matters to us in loss because we love so much. Necessary losses that teach us empathy. Necessary losses that draw us back from despair or that bring us more realistically away from invincibility. I thought it was interesting that that Tim Howard, the U.S. goalkeeper for the World Cup team, got a measure of fame and respect after having been a part of the losing team, in a sense. But the point of his rise to prominence was not how much was lost, but how many were saved. A record. And while I don't want to go all, you know, you find a Christ figure everywhere and go all Billy Budd on you all here, but the point of the gospel's essence is not ultimately on the loss of one life on the cross, but as a result of that loss, how many were saved. And maybe the last thing we need to give up or lose in our faith is the idea that we somehow know how many will be saved. Or by extension, how many won't, and probably who they are. For the loss of that one life enables all to be saved. That's all we know. How or how many or under what circumstances is really up to God. And maybe that's the most important of all the necessary losses, to let God ultimately be the God here and us to be united in grateful service for the one loss that enables all life to be saved. Amen.